Thank you, Lizzie, for that introduction. When I get to speak at Authentic, it's always a privilege. I was excited this time, one, just because I get to come up and bring the word, and two, it's good to see that Pastor Sean knows he needs to take a rest. It's good to rest and renew, especially now that he's getting a little older. I like to see a man of advancing years see when it's time to slow down just a little bit. I think he's about ready to hit 30 this year, if I'm not mistaken. And let's make sure that he gets his naps in the afternoon, that he gets his warm milk before bedtime. Pastor Lizzie, make sure he takes his teeth out before he goes to sleep. And let's be glad that Pastor Sean is getting to take just a little break. I heard a story about a young mother. How many young mothers do I have in here this morning? I know we've got a lot of babies in that nursery. You're a young mother, even if it's on the second or third time around. A young mother had her two boys, and they were sitting behind her for breakfast. And she was busy at the stove, and she was making pancakes. Well, the war was on behind her on who was going to get the first pancake. And she listened to him for a while, and finally she had all she could take, and she turned around, and she said, "Now, boys, if Jesus was here, he would want his brother to have the first pancake." She turned around. She was feeling pretty good about the lesson she just taught them. And no sooner did she think that, and she heard the oldest one say, "You're going to be Jesus today," to the youngest. Can you identify with that? You come up somebody, "You be Jesus today." I think that'd be good for you. What is in a man's heart? The title of this message is "What is in a man's heart?" Now, this is mankind. So, ladies, you're not off the hook. We're going to talk about what can be in our heart in abundance. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, for the beautiful, beautiful weather we have right here in summertime in Illinois. I thank you for everyone that's come out this morning to just be in your presence, to hear from your word. Father, I ask that you would anoint me, that it would not be my words, but it'd be yours. I just submit myself to you and to this time this morning. Help us to hear and learn. And we ask all these things and give you praise in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. What is in a man's heart? Very early in the Bible, God addresses that mankind has developed a heart issue. It tells us in Genesis 6:5, talking about mankind, that every inclination and thought of his heart was only evil all of the time. After God talked about this in the Word, if you read in Genesis, what followed was judgment. God brought judgment on the earth with water, Noah's Ark. Noah and his family survived the flood in the ark. Everyone else was wiped out. Today, we live under grace. When Jesus came and paid the price for us, things changed. This is a different age. We live in the age of grace. Be thankful for that. But still, it is vitally important for us to know what is in our hearts, what is in our heart that comes out in abundance. So in light of that, I want to explain and talk about and examine this morning what is in our heart? How did it get there? What we may need to do different to put the right things in, godly things, the thing God wants in there so he can bless us, so he can use us to further this kingdom. When the doctor wants to check our heart, when you go to see the doctor and he wants to check our heart, what does he do? He gets that instrument out called the stethoscope and he puts it in his ears. Then he takes that other end and he dips it in dry ice. And he gets it so cold, and then he puts it on your back, and he puts it on your chest. What's he doing? He's listening. He's listening for any kind of a sign of a problem, any kind of a difference in the beat. He's listening for a potential problem, maybe not now, but maybe in the future. He's listening. In Matthew 12:34, the word tells us, "Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks." You see, we can hear our heart spiritually by what we say and what comes out of us. And in the age we live in, we even have extra help. You see, I could follow you home and listen to your speech and listen to what you say, but it'd take a long time for me to follow everybody home and do that. But we have something now that makes it a whole lot easier and happens a whole lot quicker. You know what it's called? Facebook. Social media. Out of the abundance of your heart, you post on Facebook. I have seen your posts. Did you know in Matthew 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus wants you to have a full life. He wants you to enjoy your life. He doesn't want you to endure it, to just be here for a while and just make it through and skate in at the end and say, "I made it." Jesus came that we may have a full life. You know, there's 7 days in a week. A normal work week is 5 days out of those seven. Are we truly enjoying this abundant life? Are we getting out of this life what God wants? I would venture to say that there's a great deal of us who aren't. You say, "Jim, how do you know that?" I've seen your posts on Facebook. Going to work Monday morning. Can you identify with that? I know you can because I've seen you post it. I have been there. Believe me. A lot of times God gives me things to preach that I need just as much as you. I'm not up here because I've got it all figured out. I'm learning too, and I have had those kinds of Mondays. I've had different jobs through the years, some I'm more excited about than others. But that is not an abundant life. Now let's see what happens to us after we go through the week, and it now is Friday. That is one happy little penguin. What are you doing with your time that God has blessed us with? God has so much more for us. He has so many more things He wants us to enjoy. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." In verse 6, it says, "Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." I want to just give a personal testimony about God showing you what path to take. Like I said, there's been times in my life where I'm more like the polar bear than I am the penguin. There's times when it just doesn't seem that exciting what's going on in my life and the things and the tasks and the lists and the responsibilities. But I have always enjoyed antique cars. I'm the one that had the Ford truck last week that was once owned by Henry Ford. And if you guys were here last week, don't tell the secret, okay? I enjoy antique cars. And I had my first antique car back when we first started our first business. And I had it for a while, a couple of years, 2 or 3 years. It was a Model A Ford. And I really enjoyed that car. It was fun. Nothing like a beautiful day. And now you motorcyclists, you guys want to climb on your motorcycles, and that's great. I want to get in my old car and just go for a drive, and that's fun. Well, we got to a point in our life, the kids were graduating, we had some things we wanted to do, we needed some resources, so I sold my old car, and I watched it go out the driveway, and I was a little sad. I missed it. I liked my old car, and it was gone. I had an empty spot in my garage. Well, I need that sad music right now, Caleb. My old car was gone, but my father, who had just was finishing up a project on one of his old cars, said, "You know what? I've got a second project that I'm probably not going to get to. If you want it, I'll give you the project, and we'll work on it together, and you can get another antique car." I said, "Sounds good." Nights, weekends, me and Dad worked on that car. I've got it running. That's that red, you may have, may not seen it. I've got a red Coca-Cola truck, Model T Ford, and that was the car we built. I'm going somewhere with this. God's ordering my path. I didn't know it, but God was ordering my path. I took that car, and we went to a show. I was out in Ohio, and we just went for a little drive, and I just pulled it up, and I parked it, and just out of the blue, A gentleman walked up to me, never talked to me. He didn't know me. He just walked up because I was on that car and said, "Hey, would you like to buy a Model A Ford?" Well, my instant reaction was, I'm thinking this to myself, I don't have the resources to buy another car. But if you will listen, God is speaking. I heard this. Don't let him get away. Get his name. Get his number. Because he was telling me what a nice car it was, and it was in beautiful shape, and he was ready to get rid of it, and he said, "I'll make you a really good deal." Sounded great. But I heard that voice. Don't let him get away. Get his name, get his number. So I did. I said, "Give me your number," and I wrote it down. And God started dropping in my heart, "Jim, buy that car and then resell it, and you can make money on it." I came home, I talked to the bank. They said, "Yeah, we'll loan you the money for that car." I went out, I picked up that beautiful car, I brought it home, I had fun with it, and I sold it for a profit. I bought another one that summer, sold it for a profit. Next year, bought another one, sold it, bought another one, sold it, went to Springfield, got a license. I deal in antique cars now. I'm paid to own antique cars, and I've got a garage full of them. I don't go to work like the polar bear now. I go to work going, "I get to buy another antique car." That is what God wants for us. The problem is we live life forward, but we understand it backwards. You don't necessarily understand what test you're in right now. There's been jobs in my life where I have seriously thought, "What am I doing here? This is not me. This is not what I want to do." God was teaching me things. I can look back now how he taught me to do what I'm doing now, and he paid me to do it by working for someone else. You don't know what day God has planned to absolutely turn your life upside down and change what's going on in your life. All we have to do is trust in him and get happy in the situation you're in. You know, your circumstances probably won't and usually don't always change. Then you get to be happy. Get happy where you're at. Be joyful where you're at. Be content where you're at. You don't know what God has planned for you. Maybe this afternoon, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, but God has a plan. That's coming. That's coming. It may be coming. I got to be careful. I'm walking around in plastic. If you're wondering why we got plastic up here, sometimes life gets messy, and sometimes this message may even get a little messy. But you know what? It is worth it. Since we're talking about what's in our hearts today, I wanted to come up with a visual illustration to get my point across. I'm a visual learner. How many are visual learners? I wanted something that would just make me think about what's inside of something and what can bring what's inside out for others to see. So that's why I have that beautiful stump up there. And I thought, well, what can I take to represent a problem? I've got a hammer. This is an orange. If I wanted to get what's in this orange out, I could lay it on this stump. And I could take the problem, and I could apply pressure on that orange, and I could show you what's inside. But I thought, you know, let's go bigger than that. Let's see if we can't find something that's a little bigger illustration about what's in your heart and what can come out. This is a grapefruit. I thought, grapefruits are juicier. That'll show a little bit more of my illustration. But then I thought, well, yeah, I need a bigger hammer. You guys are going right with me. So we needed a bigger hammer if we're going to do that. So I brought a hammer. This hammer was once owned by Abraham Lincoln, by the way. The handle's been replaced 3 times and the head twice. But other than that, this hammer was once owned by Abraham Lincoln. If I was to show you this problem and we were to apply it to this grapefruit, what's inside would now come out, probably on you guys in the front row. But I thought, you know what? This is authentic church. We do things big. You know, yes. It's every preacher's desire that his message would get out on the people and that they'd be able to take it home with them. You on the front row are literally going to get to do that if I hit that watermelon very hard. And since we're talking about hearts, I worked on this real hard, don't laugh. We're going to put that right there. What's in a man's heart? If you apply pressure to this watermelon, it's going to show you what's inside. But first, I know how to get your attention for the rest of the message, by the way. Anytime I grab this hammer, I'm going to have everyone's undivided attention, especially the brave souls. Now, on the second experience, if this front row is empty, I'm going to know you guys told. So, shh, be quiet. Put some pictures of this on social media and say, be at the second experience to find out. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. It's talking about our thoughts. Matthew 12:35, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. We're talking about thoughts. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts. Our thoughts are powerful. Let me illustrate. If I began to talk to you about going to Dairy Queen, and you started thinking about, let's go to Dairy Queen, just the Dairy Queen sign can start me thinking about what's going to be inside Dairy Queen. Let's think about that blizzard. And I like Reese's Pieces. So let's think about putting in those Reese's Pieces or that Oreo cookie or whatever your favorite, and stirring that, making that blizzard, and then they do this to show you it's not going to fall out, which is kind of cool, I think. If you think about that long enough, if that's in your mind long enough, where are you going to be this afternoon? You're going to be at Dairy Queen. As a man thinketh, so is he. If your neighbor buys a brand new car, and you're looking at that car, and he takes you for a ride in that car, and you smell that new car smell, it's very likely, before long, you're going to be at the car lot looking, because it will get you thinking about buying a new car. Philippians 4:8-9 tells us, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. God tells us in his word, it is important what we think about. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to take every thought captive, make it obedient. To who? To Christ. Now my son is a full-time police officer. And when he was growing up at home, one of the shows he watched was those cop shows. You know, the bad boys. What you gonna do when they come for you, okay? Well, we watched those shows. And it is really a good illustration of taking something captive. When you look at when the bad guy is out there and he's got a weapon, do the police just come up and say, hey, we would really appreciate it, guy, if you would just put that weapon down and come with us down to the station and we can talk, if you want to. No. It's more like, get on the ground now, get your hands behind your head, they handcuff him, pick him up, and put him in the squad car. They take him captive. They're serious about it. We need to be serious about what we let entertain in our mind. When those thoughts come, and they do, goofy thoughts, bad thoughts, destructive thoughts, negative thoughts, they can come, but what you do with those thoughts is your responsibility. If you will take them captive, I'm not thinking on that. I'm thinking on what God tells me to think about. I'm a child of God. Do not play games with those thoughts. Because, yeah, we may go to Dairy Queen for a blizzard, and that's probably okay. I mean, if you have too many, it can be a problem. But there's thoughts that we do not want to entertain because they will take you to a place you don't want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you ever planned on paying. The price is very serious. We should be very serious about what God wants in our lives. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Quite often in life, we get it backwards. We submit ourselves to the devil and we resist God. And we wonder, why are we in a mess? We've got it backwards. Don't submit yourself to what the enemy has for your life. Don't just entertain those thoughts. Don't let that become big in your life and God small. You have it backwards. You're not going to get where God wants you to be. Baptisms. I love Baptism Sunday. I love it when we have the tank up here and Pastor Sean's in the tank and everyone comes in. But you know what's interesting? I like the fact that we don't just dibble our fingers in. We don't just sit along the side and we just kick our feet a little bit and just kind of get damp. We go all in. We go 100% all in. This is what it is. I'm going down and Jesus is coming up in my life and the old man is gone and the new has come. Baptisms are a good representation about what I want to talk about this morning, and that's let's go all in. I want all of what God has for me, not just a little, not just some, not occasionally. I want all of what God has for me. God has a plan for you. Did you know originally this building was built, and when the guys built this building and they poured the foundation and they set the blocks, they thought they were building it just for a moose, just for a moose lodge. And that's okay. I'm not against moose lodges. In fact, I even made a joke. I passed a moose lodge once and had the big moose out front. I thought, we ought to get one of those. We can make him an authentic moose, and we can put him out there. But it was okay that they built this for a moose. But you know what? God had bigger plans for this building than just a moose. Did you know that God knows the beginning from the end? He's the Alpha and the Omega. God knew that you were going to be sitting in that seat this morning. This building may have been built as a moose, but God knew that someday a young man named Sean Jensen, while he was still working at another church, not in this town, would walk out of his house, wouldn't make it to the car. He stopped, and tears flowed. And God put a burden on his heart for the lost in Pontiac, Illinois, in Livingston County, in this area. And you're the one that he was crying about because God knew you were going to be here and you needed to be here. God knows the beginning from the end. Here we are. It was a moose lodge. It was the Freaksters. It was this. It was that. I said we could have named it Jesus Freaksters. They didn't think so. So we went with authentic. God knew you needed to be here this morning. This building is here because God ordained it to be here. You're here this morning because God wanted you to be here to hear his word. This could be that very moment that's going to change your life for the rest of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your life. We are called as believers to make a difference. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus calls us the light of the world. Again, I'm a visual person. I brought my light. Here's my light. And I can make a difference with this, but this isn't a very big light. I want to be the kind of light that lets not just a little bit of God out. I want to be the kind of light that does this. I want the kind of light that people go, what is that? What's going on over there? Yeah. There's something happening over there, and I want to be a part of that. I want to be the kind of light that doesn't make just a little difference. I want to be the kind of light that makes a great big difference. Why? Because it changes a lot of people's lives. Yeah. I want people to say, look what's happening over there. People are getting set free. People are leaving drugs and alcohol and addictions. There's people over at that church that were diagnosed with cancer, and they're living life cancer-free right now. Psalms 30 tells us, "O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever." Simply said, when God shows up, it's time to dance. And I'm not talking about the waltz. Da-dum, dum, 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 da-da-da-da. I'm talking about when God shows up and he changes your life and he heals your body and he sets your marriage free. I'm talking about football, touchdown, happy dance. God has done something in my life. Let's get excited about that. We can get happy about a lot of things. I want to be happy about things that last forever. Do you know the only things in this room that are going to last forever? The souls that God gave us, the eternal souls. Everything else that we can see, touch, smell, work for, it's all going away. We can get excited for that, and it's okay to be excited, but I want to be excited about the things that change men and women's hearts for what God wants to do that makes an eternal difference. God loves us and wants to do so much more for us than we even can hope or imagine. A month ago, more than a month ago now, but Sue and I got asked by Sean and Lizzie to babysit their two little ones. And that's fun. I enjoy them. You know what the best part is? Is you can have fun with them and then give them back to their parents and you can go home. But we got the privilege to watch little Charlie and Avery. And we had fun. We played picnic on the floor. We loaded them up in their little wagon. And we took them off to the park. And we came back. Somehow we managed not to learn how to turn the TV volume on. So we had the TV, but no volume. Don't laugh at us. We're from the 80s. We're technology challenged sometimes. But we were just sitting there having fun. And I think I had the phone out. And I had a video going. Little Avery had her head right about here. And she just stopped, took her little eyes and looked in mine, threw her arms around my neck, and said, "I love you, Jim." That child could have followed that statement with, "I want anything." If she'd have said, "I want a pony," I'd have said, "Load them up, Sue. We're going to the pony store. We're getting this child a pony right now." I know that's true because I've seen Grandpa Wade's house. And these grandkids have got him figured out because he's got electric cars, he's got bounce houses. They have got it figured out for Grandpa. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you looked God in the eyes, threw your arms around his neck, and said, "I love you"? Do you know your Father in heaven is just waiting for that? It tells us in the Word that we can say to this mountain, "Be uprooted and cast into the sea." And God says, "It will be done." What are we selling ourselves short on? If we will just take that time, that morning, that afternoon, that evening, I don't know when it is, spend time with your Heavenly Father. He has so much more for us. When Pastor Sean asked me to speak, I have a couple reactions. First, I'm excited. That's going to be fun. And then I think, oh man, I got to speak. It's going to go quiet and everybody's going to look at me and I have to bring the Word. Well, then I start pressing in. I start reading my Bible. I put on the Hillsong channel and I'm watching my favorite messages in the morning and my favorite messages at night. I'm spending time with God. Why? Because I want to make sure. I don't take this lightly to be up here. This isn't just, it is fun, but it's not just for fun. This is a big responsibility and I press into God and I spend time with Him. And you know what? I can absolutely tell a difference in my life when I do that. What would happen at Authentic Church if we all started pressing in? If we all started pressing in, like Pastor Sean said, you're bringing the Word next Sunday. If you're getting just a little bit of what God wants, try getting a lot more of what God has for you and see what happens. It will make a difference in your life. What stops us? What keeps us from making that step to where God wants us to be? Well, it's a four-letter word called fear. I heard a pastor once say that FEAR stands for the four letters, false evidence appearing real. You know, most of the time in my life when I look back, the things that I was scared of never happened. I laid in bed and worried about this, and boy, what this scenario, and what could happen, and if this took place, fear. More often than not, it never even happened. On 8/17, March 3rd, 1943, in London, England, the air raid sirens went off. People began to scream, panic, run. They thought the bombs were coming. A few looked up. They didn't see any planes, but the fact that they did not see any planes did not dampen the hysteria. They raced toward the underground station, the railroad station. A woman carrying a baby lost lost her footing, and she fell on the steps. This caused a domino effect as the new ones kept coming and pushing. It was a false alarm. The planes never came. The bombs never came. But in the end, 173 men, women, and children lost their life. Why? What killed them? Fear. Fear causes blind panic. The enemy comes. The Bible tells us to steal, kill, and destroy. He brings fear to stop you. Bad news goes off in this country just like an air raid siren. Some popular publications tell us that 59 million Americans have heart disease. 53 have migraines, 25 million struggle with obesity, arthritis, cancer, severe disorders. If we add that all up, 543 million Americans consider themselves to be seriously sick. There's a troubling fact with that. There's only 266 million people in this country. Somebody is seriously double dipping in this bad news. Or there's a hysteria of something being told to us that isn't necessarily as black as it seems. Are there people with sicknesses? Yes. Are there things we have to deal with? Yes. But don't get your daily dose of what's coming in your world from the daily news. Is it okay to be informed? Yes, I want to be informed. Don't have a steady diet of it. Don't spend all your time thinking on those things. Spend your time filling up with God's Word. What's the answer to fear? What's the answer to this big problem? When Christ is great, our fears are not. Jesus tells us in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. One of the disciples, Thomas, spoke up and said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus said something here that if you don't take anything else from what I've spoke this morning, take this home with you. Jesus answered, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Worship team, if you want to head on up as we start to bring this to a close. I heard a story once about a young married couple, and they collected glass antiques. That was their passion. That was their hobby. After they got married, they had children, and the kids knew what rooms you played in and what rooms you really didn't, because mom and dad had that stuff on display through the house. And they told the kids, now you be careful and don't horse around and break things. Well, one day, the parents came into a room, and there was their five-year-old son, and he had a vase stuck on his arm all the way up to his shoulder. Well, everybody was okay at this point. The vase was okay, so they thought, we can get it off. So they started, you know, you get the cooking oil out, you get the butter, you do all those things, and it would not come off. It was stuck. Finally, there was nothing they could do, so they decided, we got to break it off. So they did. They took a hammer and they cracked it, and it broke and it fell off. When it did, the little guy's fist was like this. And they said, why did you keep your fist clenched? If you would have released your grip, we could have got the vase off without breaking it. What is in your hand that's so important? He opened it up and he had his little lucky penny in his hand. He didn't want to turn it loose. What in your life this morning are you hanging on to? It's so important to you that you're going to have to break something off that God wants to give you that's priceless. All you have to do is release your grip. Let go of the thing that you think is so important and let God show you what he has. If everybody just bow their heads and close their eyes. If this message has touched your heart this morning, if God has shown you something in your life where you feel like, yeah, there's things in my heart that shouldn't be there, I want to pray for you this morning before we close. Would you just slip your hand up? I want to remember you. Thank you. There's hands all over the building. We want to pray that God would not only show you those things, but he's got answers. If this is your first time to ever have the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior, if you never have, we don't want to let this opportunity to pass you by. I want to pray for you. If you've never accepted Jesus, if you cannot say beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I left this world today, I know where I'd be. I want to pray for you this morning. Would you put your hand up? I want to pray that you'll know, that you'll know, that you'll know that Jesus is my Savior. I see those hands. Thank you. I want to pray the prayer of salvation first. And I want everyone in the sanctuary to pray after me as I do that. And then I will close out with a prayer after that. And then we've got some other things up here to deal with. But let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Just go ahead and pray after me. Father, thank you for this opportunity to accept Jesus as my Savior. I thank you for his shed blood. I thank you now that my life can be changed and I can be brought back to you through Jesus Christ. I accept him now in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I thank you for everyone that had their hands up. Father, for heart conditions, things that can creep in, things that can take precedent, things that can get bigger than you. I thank you, Father, that you not only show us, but you show us ways that we can change that, and we can turn that around, and we can put our thoughts on you, and we can be so full of you that when the problems come, that's what comes out. We want Jesus to be big, and we want Jesus to be shown. Help us to decrease and for you to increase. Father, we just give you praise in advance. I thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, we have this watermelon up here still. And I just think it'd be a shame to have plastic, to have this nice hammer, and not be able to leave you with the visual illustration of what are you so full of? What is in you in such abundance that when the problems come, when the pressure's applied, what comes out of you? We want to be so full of Jesus that when the problems come, let's bring it out. I was trying to go easy on you guys in the front row. I may not in the second one. When we're all over the place, when people see what's in us, let's let them see Jesus. Thank you for being here this morning. We have announcements coming up. Matt's over here. I hope God has touched your heart this morning. I hope you had just as much fun getting this as I did preaching this morning. So Matt, go ahead.